You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
The Sting, it's this day in history, going back to 1956 for what is apparently the world's most famous water polo match. I didn't even know they had water polo back then, so it's good. Everyone's learning.
Yes, that recent technological advancement.
Well, I don't know.
I thought water polo was played with a net.
I think there's a net. Is it? You throw a ball goals. Into a net.
I thought it were goals.
Yeah, there's two goals, but they have nets.
Oh, no, I thought it was like a...
No, it's not like, it's not like volleyball. No, it's...
Anyway,
like
sorry.
Volleyball?
I don't, is that a thing?
No.
Well, it didn't happen on this day in history, so forget it.
Well, anyway, what happened?
Yeah, so this was at the Australian Summer Olympics. Semi-final between Hungary and the Soviet Union, or Russia. This was when Russia had just invaded Hungary or restored order to its local allies and the government after a uprising there. So obviously this was, you know, fraught with tensions, and it would explode a world away, as Oscar said, in Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne people are confident that the Olympic Games will be held there anyway. They're queuing up for tickets now, though they'll have to wait until November 1956 to use them. It's a real bargain sale rush as bookings open. It's the same in Sydney and other capitals too. The demand for tickets is unprecedented. And it's little wonder that in a few days over £400,000 worth of seats are sold. Stores and capital cities put up special selling counters, but the tickets couldn't go faster if they were giving them away. If this is an indication of Australia's enthusiasm, Mr. Avery Brundage need have no fears. Melbourne's going to stage those games, and she's going to stage them well.
But yes, a blemish on those games would be the sort of fighting between the two teams, Hungary and Russia, really sparked by the entrance of Russian forces into Hungary. This was after sort of local workers' uprisings, really almost seized control of Hungary, which at that time was part of the Warsaw Pact, this pro-Soviet bloc. They are around for about a couple of weeks, and then the Soviets just sent in all the tanks, which, funnily enough, is where the phrase tanky comes from, if you're aware of that. It's
yes.
For a sort
keep
of
your Twitter memes
supplies.
Out of here.
It's not a meme.
So it's an official political position.
Anyway,
let's get
play
it.
The club.
From Budapest, city of blood and bravery, tragedy and hope, come the first pictures of the battle which has shaken the world and of its aftermath. Here, in a few fierce days, the post-war drama of Eastern Europe reached its climax. Tanks fought against civilians and army against secret police, where a few days ago all had seemed quiet on the surface. While the battle is raging, you have to keep out of the way, for a tank asks no questions. And when a country is divided against itself, the plane flying overhead may be on your side, or it may not. For many days, the fighting continues with now the government, now the insurgents gaining the upper hand. Running battles move from street to street. But as the toll of dead and wounded grows heavier, it becomes clear that the rebels must win, for they have the great mass of people behind them. Desperately, Ivery Nagy's government seeks a way out. A few days ago, it had asked the Russians to help. Now it begs them to leave. But some of the Soviet tanks will never leave, for they have been captured or destroyed by the insurgents they were ordered to quell. To the outside world, the struggle seems strangely confused, for not only is the government itself caught between two fires, but the rebels are a mixture of communists and anti-communists. But one overriding desire unites the rebel forces, whatever their politics, the desire to get rid of the Russians and to work out their own destiny as a nation. Hated even more than the Russians are the Hungarian secret police, and they can expect little mercy when they are caught. Only history will show how much the machine they built was responsible for Hungary's disaster. The extent of their ultimate failure is symbolized by the piles of communist literature which lie burning in the streets. The
fighting is dying down. The symbols of a discredited regime are being torn from public buildings. What will emerge from the conflict, no one can yet say. But it'll be Hungarian and not Russian. Meanwhile, from wrecked hospitals to ruined homes, there is a terrible destruction to be cleared away. The scars of a week of horror. Some of these pictures are not pretty to look at, but they should be seen and remembered. In these streets, men, women, and children died for their freedom as a nation. A price any nation which allows its freedom to be stolen, or which steals freedom from others, may have to pay. A lesson which no country is exempt from learning, but which it is better to learn in time. Who can say the Battle of Budapest is over? The rising has triumphed. Will its demands be met? If a new and better Hungary is born, the fighting will not have been in vain.
We will return to This Day in History after a quick break.
95BFM has been tearing it up since 1969. Woo-hoo! Nice. But we couldn't have done it alone.
No, we're still Auckland's best radio station thanks to generous people like you.
By signing up for a Simplicity B card, you help keep BFM alive, independent, and not shit. And as a thank you, you get sweet discounts from some of our mates.
Support independent media from as little as $4.20 a month. Nice. With a Simplicity B card. Go to 95bfm.com/sign up.
Rudy's delivery.
Oh my goodness, for me?
You're Johnny? Delivery for Johnny, says here. What do you want this?
I mean, yeah, I didn't expect that. It's so beautiful, this beer, for me.
Yes, yeah. What do you want it?
It's a very emotional, overwhelming moment. Thank you so much.
Give the gift of a cold one with a delivery of Rudy's Beer. Delivering directly from Rudy's Brewery in the heart of Auckland. Chilled service to central Auckland and free delivery to wider Auckland. Rudy's, brewers of beer. Text lager to 9090 to send some cold ones to a loved one. It's music. Original originator, broadcast to the world, and podcast to your device on 95bfm.com.
Yes, we now return to This Day in History. When we left off, Hungarians had risen up and really sort of displaced the then pro-Soviet government.
Rushed out of Budapest in the last hours before the Russians took control, these pictures make you an eyewitness of Hungary's brief but tragic civil war. This is how it all started, with a peaceful students' demonstration 100,000 strong. They carried pro-communist banners. No one spoke of rebellion. All they asked was greater democracy within the present regime, reforms on the Polish pattern. There was no hint here of the bitter days to come. It looked more like a meeting in Hyde Park, a holiday atmosphere with good temper taking the edge from strong opinions. Hungarians fraternized with Russian troops. But meanwhile on the radio, Party Secretary Gero was describing the demonstrators as rabble, and the word was like a burning match in a powder barrel. The first clashes were between the demonstrators and the hated secret police. Budapest workers and students, armed by sympathetic soldiers, began rounding up any they could catch. Like wildfire, the news spread through the city that police had been firing on the crowds in Stalin Square. Hungarian army units rushed to the square to restore order. And for a while, nobody could tell who was fighting whom. But as the rising took shape, the government called in Russian tanks, and battle was joined. All the pent-up emotions of a decade, all the hatred of Russian interference flared up at once. Budapest became a battleground. Too late, the party sacked Gero. Too late, the new premier Imre Nagy tried to reverse the government's mistakes and call off the Russian tanks. The rebels, communist and anti-communist, soldier, worker and student, were united in their demands. No more Russians, no more secret police. Freedom and independence for their native land. Both men and women were caught up in the fighting, which raged from street to street, from square to square. By now the rising was better armed, for most of the Hungarian army was on the people's side and was supplying them with arms and ammunition. After a grim battle, the headquarters of the AVO, the secret police, was captured by the insurgents. The wounded were hurried away, and the dead AVO men left where they had fallen. The victors made great bonfires of secret police dossiers, propaganda literature, and red flags beside the bodies of the vanquished. Red Cross supplies from Austria and farther afield were now pouring across Hungary's western frontier, and the need was great, for the number of wounded ran into thousands. At last, the tide was turning. The rebels were gaining the upper hand. The government were negotiating with the Kremlin for the withdrawal of Russian troops. A wave of national pride ran through the capital. But the triumph was short-lived. While Budapest was still burying its dead, a shocked world learned that the Russians had denounced Nagy's government, set up one of their own, and begun to occupy Hungary in its name. Hungary's cup of bitterness has not yet been emptied, but her spirit cannot die.
And it would just be a few weeks after this uprising that Hungary and Russia would face off in the semi-finals of the water polo Olympic Games on this day in history.
Huh? What was the score?
Well, they say it in the piece, Lachlan, if you can be patient enough.
No, I don't know.
Patience.
4-0.
Yeah. First of the three sports to be conducted in Melbourne's new Olympic swimming pool was water polo. 10 nations entered teams, and as expected, the European countries were strongly represented. This match is a final round contest between the ultimate winners, Hungary, and the third place getters, Russia. Hungary with the white caps. Of the whole series, this was the most vigorously contested game, and ended with Hungary's forward leaving the pool injured. For those not familiar with the sport, a team consists of 7 players. No substitution is allowed during the course of a game. There are 2 halves of 20 minutes separated by a 5-minute break. Players must be in really top-class physical condition. The international rules state that the goals must be placed between 19 and 30 yards apart, and that the width of the bath should not be more than 20 yards. Water depth is always 3 feet or more. The expected 6 teams reach the final round, namely the 3 favourites Hungary, Yugoslavia and Russia, and Italy, America and Germany. But on performances, there was little doubt that the gold medal would go to either Hungary or to Yugoslavia. Meeting Russia's forcing play with clever tactical moves, Hungary and the white caps were clearly the masters in this game. One fierce encounter resulted in 21-year-old Hungarian Ervin Zador sustaining a badly cut eyebrow. For a few moments, both public and player feeling ran very hot. But as several internationals later pointed out, water polo has always been a game of hard clashes, and at times injuries inevitably must occur. Hungary won that match 4-0.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.